given in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. So, what is your destiny? What does the future have in store for you? Many people wonder about the future, especially during these difficult times. So what is your destiny? Will your destiny be one of hope and peace, or will your destiny be one of despair and peril? Obviously, all people want to have a positive destiny filled with hope. And so many people do everything within their power to make sure that their destiny will be a good one. Some people rely on health food, exercise, and modern medicine to ensure a long life and a positive future. Others trust in money and wise investments to build a secure future filled with affluence. Still others try to control their destiny through special knowledge, using such things as fortune tellers and horoscopes to predict events so that they can make the right decisions in advance. However, the problem with all these attempts to shape our destiny is that they give us the illusion of control. We delude ourselves into thinking that if we work hard and plan correctly and make wise decisions, we can somehow guarantee a positive destiny for ourselves. But the fact is this: no matter how healthy we are, no matter how much money we have, no matter what knowledge we may have about future events, the death rate remains 100%. No matter how hard we try, we can't avoid death. We simply are not in control of that reality. However, our lack of control does not end with death. You see, contrary to what some people think, death is not the end. According to God's word, all people will be resurrected one day, and all people will live forever. The question is, where and with whom will you live forever? In other words, what is your destiny? You know, someone once told me that the letters of the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, they told me that they could actually stand for the following: basic information before leaving Earth. That's right. The Bible gives us basic information before leaving Earth. It tells us what we need to know before we face death. And so what does the Bible teach us? Well, first, the Bible teaches us why we must face death. You see, human reason by itself would never figure out why we all must face physical death. In fact, many people today wrongly assume that death is just a natural part of life. That's the way God made the world. But no. Holy Scripture clearly teaches that physical death was not part of God's perfect creation that He gave us in the beginning. Adam and Eve, as well as their descendants, that's you and me, we were intended to live in God's love forever in a perfect world without sin, without pain, without death. But all that changed when the devil tempted Adam and Eve to reject God and find life apart from Him. Now, God warned them that such a choice would result in death, but they trusted their own wisdom instead. And so, Adam and Eve died spiritually. They no longer trusted God, they no longer loved God. This spiritual death was then passed on to all their descendants. That's you and me again. We were conceived as spiritually dead people who do not love God and do not trust Him. Then, because Adam and Eve died spiritually, the consequence would be that they would also have to face physical death. And we sinners suffer the same consequence for our sins. As many of you know, my father recently died. Why did he die? He died as a consequence of his sin against God. And one day I will die as the consequence of my sin against God. And one day my son, Joshua, will die as the consequence of his sin against God. It all started with Adam, and that curse was passed on through the generations, through my father to me, and through me to my son, and so on it goes. However, physical death, as horrible as it is, that's nothing compared to the second death, which is eternal life separated from God's love. In our reading from Philippians, Paul says the following about those who reject Christ. He says, their destiny is destruction. Now, the destruction Paul is talking about is not annihilation, the end of existence. Instead, the destruction Paul is talking about is eternal life separated from God and His love. In our Old Testament reading from Daniel, for instance, it says that the destiny of unbelievers is everlasting contempt. In our Gospel reading, Jesus says that unbelievers will be resurrected only to be condemned. And then, if you read the end of Matthew chapter 25, we read these words of Jesus about the future destiny of unbelievers. Jesus says, they will go away to everlasting punishment. Now, the everlasting punishment of which Jesus speaks is eternal life separated from God and His love. At this point, there are two things we must understand. First of all, we are all sinners, and therefore we all deserve this horrible destiny of being separated from God's love for eternity. You see, none of us are worthy of being eternal objects of God's love. Instead, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we are all by nature objects of God's wrath. Now, the second point is this. God does not desire that anyone would end up in hell. He doesn't want that for any sinner. In fact, God wants to rescue us from the eternal destiny of damnation that we deserve. That's why Jesus spoke these well-known words recorded in John chapter 3. He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Simply put, God wants all sinners to repent and trust in Jesus, who gives us the certain hope of eternal life in God's love. You see, the true blessing of eternal life is not merely that we get to live forever, because everybody gets to live forever. No, the true blessing of eternal life is that we get to live forever with our true love. Our God who created us and saved us and brought us to faith in Him. Only Jesus can give us sinners this eternal life. However, one thing we learn from the Bible is that we sinners will see no reason to trust in Jesus unless we take our sins seriously and recognize that we deserve eternity in hell. Therefore, God gives us various warning signs to get our attention. And one of God's warning signs is physical death. You know, as horrible as physical death is, it is actually a gift from God. You see, God uses physical death to make us face the fact that this world is broken. God uses physical death to make us understand that we're not in control of our lives. The reality of physical death humbles us, and it forces us to see that we need a Savior. There's nothing like a funeral to humble us and move us to seek the Lord. In fact, my son Joshua has a t-shirt. It was given to him by one of his relatives. And on the t-shirt is this little phrase. It says, "The leading cause of death is sin." In Romans 6:23, Paul says, "The wages of sin is death." But then, Paul goes on to say, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And the eternal life that Paul is talking about is eternal life in God's love, living in a world where sin no longer separates us from God. My friends, Jesus came into the world to give us an eternal destiny filled with peace, love, joy, and hope. Jesus did this by living a perfect life of obedience and faith in our place, a life that we sinners could never live. Jesus did this by taking our sins to the cross and suffering God's wrath in our place. Jesus did this by conquering death for us when his body became alive again and now lives forever to guarantee that we will also live forever through faith in him. In our gospel reading, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Now, what is Jesus teaching us here? Simply put, Jesus is saying that when God's Spirit convicts us of sin, when God's Spirit brings us to faith in Jesus as our Savior, then we cease to be spiritually dead, and instead we now have spiritual life. You see, you Christians who believe in Jesus, you have the best part of eternal life right now because you are reconciled to the Father through his Son, Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Jesus speaks his word to spiritually dead sinners in order to give them spiritual life. Jesus condemns our sin, but then he assures us that through his cross we are not condemned, we are forgiven. If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, then by God's grace, you have crossed over from death to life, from spiritual death to spiritual life. Now, even though this good news of God's love and mercy for sinners is amazing, there's even more good news. In our gospel reading, Jesus says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." Here Jesus teaches that God will do another amazing work on the final day when Christ returns in power and glory. On that day, Jesus will raise the bodies of all people from the dust of the ground. And then Jesus makes this comment. He says, "Those who have done good will rise to live." Now, this phrase has been misunderstood by a lot of people. If you pull it out of context, it makes it sound like Jesus is saying, if you're good enough, if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, if you're a little better than the really bad people, then you will rise to have eternal life. That's not what Jesus is teaching. When Jesus talks about those who have done good, he is talking about those who, by the grace of God, lived lives of repentance and faith in Jesus. In other words, to do good means that you confess your sin, you trust in Jesus alone for salvation, and then the fruit of that saving gift is that you now strive to live your life according to God's will. Such as these can look forward to eternal life in God's love because they have full salvation right now. In contrast, those who do evil are those who deny their sin or try to deal with their sin themselves. Those who do evil are those who see no need for Jesus and His saving work. Those who do evil are those who deny God's plan for our lives and strive to live by their own wisdom instead. Such as these will be resurrected on the final day, only to be condemned. Now, once again, let me stress that God does not want this to happen to sinners. God sent His Son to the cross so that no one would have to end up in hell. But sadly, God must condemn those who reject Jesus and His words. God must condemn those who want nothing to do with His loving plan for their lives. And this takes us back to the question that I asked at the beginning of the sermon. What is your destiny? If, by God's grace, you trust in Jesus as your Savior from sin and eternal condemnation, then your destiny is eternal life with your loving God in the new creation that He will make for us on that day when He returns. In our reading from Philippians, Paul writes, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." Isn't that a wonderful hope for us? For us Christians who mourn the death of loved ones who have died trusting in Jesus. You see, even though we miss our loved ones who died trusting in Jesus, we believers know that their spirits are now with the Lord and that their bodies will be resurrected, glorified, and sinless on the final day. That's when we will see them again and we will spend eternity with them, living in God's love forever. In fact, you don't have to wait for the final day to live in God's love. You see, through faith in Jesus, you have spiritual life right now. That means you are completely forgiven now, and you are God's dearly loved child right now. Not even death can separate you from God's love that you have through Jesus right now. And as far as your destiny is concerned, well, one day you will hear Christ's voice. Your body will be resurrected from the dust, and you will live forever in God's new creation. That is your destiny. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding,